This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Jinirao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Ali to our Palawan listeners and welcome everyone to Nisian Footy, the undisputed champs apparently of Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes and alongside me as always is my Cook Island Kiwi, Tinirao Arona T, undisputed champs.
Self-proclaimed, is it?
Self-proclaimed. Your mum's given us the title as well, so if it's coming from your mum, I'm going to take it.
Nah, kia ora, Sammy. It's great to be back. And this is our last Nisian Footy's Friday review because on the weekend.
I'm a little bit disappointed about that because obviously I know rugby league's finished, but we still have our brothers over in Union. So I thought we could drag it on a little bit longer. But obviously,
mate, we can only do the air breaks for.
We wouldn't have enough time. It'd be a 10 minute show.
54 minute show. But yeah, like I said, there's the last weekends. This weekend we got the PAC Champs finals and the promotion relegation games in Sydney. Four games, Sammy. And yes, we will be there, both Sammy and I are watching. Are you going for all four games, Sammy?
Just the main event, mate. That's all I'm going for. Tonga, that's it.
Oh, so
I'm not going to go there for anyone
else. Not going
else.
For Fetu Samoa.
No, as soon as it's finished, I'm out. No, I'll be there for all four.
Well, we're going for the four games. And one lady who will be playing for the Jillaroos is Sala Tonga Tuki, and we will be catching up with her while she's preparing for this big final against the Kiwi Ferns. We've also got our last answer to Professor Paulo.
Prof, this is the last one too. Ooh, the lunch is on the line as well.
I'm down by 1 point, so we'll have to discuss what happens if I get this point. So, or we just say this point's worth two, and
it's good, this
we'll
bloke.
Call it there.
You're good, mate.
But yeah, let's crack on with the show.
Well, everyone, this is Kevin Ngama from the Fiji Butty, and you're listening to Nisian Footy.
Yeah, big Kevy. He's got a beautiful body. He's ripped. But anyway, let's get straight with the rugby league news. And as mentioned, the last time. We'll be talking about games for a while. So, T, let's rip into this grand final weekend.
First one, Australia versus Tonga in the men's. So this will be the final for the Pacific Championships Cup. Jeez, what a game. I think everyone expected last week, Australia versus New Zealand. When you look at Australia, the injured Cameron Murray, he will be replaced by Raiders Hudson Young, and the Panthers back rower Lindsay Smith will make his Kangaroo debut off the bench. Tonga, no changes will be made, and they will keep the same 17 who beat the New Zealand Kiwis last weekend. Bit here to do with for Tonga. I think a big one is controlling Harry Grant. You know, the way that he's played his last couple games, he's been a real threat for the Kangaroos. The way that he gets out of the ruck, engages those markers, especially around the line as well. He seems to, you know, find his way and dart over that trial line. But big one of how to control Harry Grant, you have to control the ruck speed. You know, without that, them quick play the balls, Harry Grant, he can't come out. So controlling the ruck speed, you need to control the first few tackles. So you're looking at guys like Dylan Edwards, Xavier Coates, Hamiso Tabuafito, Tom Trbojevic, and Zach Lomax. You control those first few tackles, and then it stops the momentum. Them forwards don't have that front foot to go off the back of. And then you control a fair chunk of Harry Grant's game.
When you say control the tackle, what's the most effective way to control the tackle? Do you try and catch him up high and try and hold him up so you don't fall to the ground with the defender? So you try and get a slow play? Or are you trying to get him on their back to create a slow play the ball?
I think there's a cycle. So one, line speed. You know, getting up off the line and stopping the meters gained from the attacker. Two, contact, making sure, and obviously the Tongan boys can put some big shots on. So winning that contact battle, that physical battle, if they can drive them back, even better, slows the ruck right down. So line speed, contact, and then, you know, wrestle in the ruck or slow the ruck. So if you can win those first two, you slow the ruck down, it takes away that main weapon in Harry Grant. So, yeah. Controlling the ruck. Second one, I would say send traffic at him. So you've got those big boys, guys like Adam Fanua Blake, Haumole Olakau'atu, big Jason Taumalolo. Those players really stood up last week against the Kiwis. Now you go send traffic straight through that middle. You know, they start wearing those tackles, make him make tackles, and then you take away a lot of his energy. And final one, keep possession. You know, make sure you hold that ball, get through your sets, don't give away silly errors, you know, kick to the corners, win those first three, just get in that grind and don't be the first to break. Usually the first to break, it's harder for those teams to come back, especially when you're playing a team like Kangaroos.
You know, when the Kangaroos, they're a very systematic team. They understand the grind, they understand processes. Is there anything that you can see with the Tongan team, what they can probably do, just something subtle that can add to what you've said, that can frustrate them a little bit more to try and put them off their game a little bit?
Well, it probably goes to my matchup. So my matchup here is the pack versus pack. Yeah. You know, you've got the starting middles in Paddy Carrigan, Lindsay Collins, Isaiah Yeo, and Tongan team, they got Adam Fanua Blake, Felice Kafusi, Jason Taumalolo, plus both back rowers. If they can really physically dominate that middle,
yeah, rattle their cages.
Rattle guys like Paddy Carrigan, Lindsay Collins, Isaiah Yeo, take them off their game. Yeah, that will go a long way to winning that middle part, and then hopefully frustrate guys like Harry Grant.
I like
their halves like Tom Dead and Mitchell Moses, because they can only play if they've got that go forward. So rattle that
cage. Yeah, nice. Yeah, I like that.
Bit of a nudge here and there, really get in their faces. And the other thing too, the Sydney Red Sea. Yeah, if they come in, if they all turn up to the game, the refs, imagine being the ref and you're looking around seeing red, those 50-50 calls. Yeah, I'm not going against the Tongan Red Sea here. Penalty's yours, Tonga, all yours.
But think of our mate in Fiji watching the game. You remember when we were watching it at the hotel? It was a bit on edge. So you think of that, and then you think of 30,000 of them.
Yeah, so now they will, 14th man or the 18th man out in the crowd, the Red Sea, they will play their part as well. Sammy, I believe that you went out to the fan day and grabbed some good footage out there.
Honestly, it took me back to being a kid again, going out to that fan day out at Blacktown in Western Sydney. And apparently it was just planned within 24 hours. The staff just got out there, got out to the local players. I think Daniel Tupou's family helped organise it as well in Blacktown. And there would have been a couple of thousand people there. Sea of red there, just for a training session. After 24 hours notice, they were out there. And, mate, the car parks, we talk about the flags. They reckon there's no flag for sale in Sydney at the moment.
Or tickets.
So it was just seeing the kids' faces. I interviewed some of my little cousins that were out there and some of the other kids. And as soon as their superstars were running out on the field for training, like the DJ was going off, and then the kids' faces, like seeing Adam Fanua Blake, they were lost for words. And it was beautiful just to see that and just have a look around and just soak it all in and have a deeper appreciation what these players are doing for their family and their community and their country to get behind them on the big stage against the heavyweights of Australia. It's already a victory in itself. And we've seen it happen before, but this time around, they're playing for a major trophy that I don't think it's ever happened before. I've got to catch up with Paul Alamotti. I've got to catch up with Daniel Tupou as well, but also spoke to Isaiah and just got around it and just feeling the atmosphere and what it means to them to prepare for this game. Hey, next to me is one of the Tongan superstars, Paul Alamotti. Man, it's been a massive year for yourself, grand final win, and now representing the red jersey. Man, it's going to be a massive crowd there, sea of red, this training session here. All right, how does it make you and the boys feel knowing you have this type of support?
Honestly, it gives me so much pride in my country and who we represent, all these people. We had a bit of it last week in New Zealand, and it's so good to come out here to Blacktown and seeing everyone's coming out to support us. So it's good to come out and see everyone's love, feel everyone's love, and hope to see you guys on Sunday.
When you hear that Himi 114 sung by the crowd and even coming in here today and you're hearing it, how much does that lift the boys and get them up for a game like playing against Australia?
Massive. I remember on the weekend, they end up sinking it. Probably the perfect time where the momentum was kind of against us and kind of needed. So they, I don't know, for some reason they always sink at the right time and it gives us a bit of extra kick and a bit extra energy at the right time of the game. So hopefully they sing again this weekend. It'll be no different for sure.
What's something you love the most about putting on that red jersey and representing your family?
Just a lot of pride in who I am, where I come from, who I represent. Just like every Tongan here, everyone has so much pride in their culture and just the family orientation. So every time I put this jersey on, it's just a reflection of my dad, all my family, entire family here back home and everywhere around the world and all the Tongan people. So that's what it gives to me.
Nah, it means a lot, bro, to everyone out here. You can just hear that Oana song being sung. But hey, all the best this week. Much love, off alahiato, bro.
Thank you.
All the best. Right, I'm here with one of the OGs, the old bulls, Daniela Tupou. Mate, you've been in here for a long time.
Yeah.
You see this crowd turn up today, right? How does it make you feel when you've got this type of support?
Man, I think we're like pretty cliche. Everyone knows that we've got the best fans in the world, and obviously you can see the turnout today. It's a weekday, everyone should be at work, but it's a pretty nice.
Kids should be at school,
yeah,
but all good.
Man, but we've got the best fans, and I'm sure everyone knows that we're just extremely blessed to have that kind of support, and we're going to need that on Sundays.
One final message for the people of Tonga all around the world.
Yeah.
What's your message for them for this week?
Yeah, we're thinking of you guys, and we definitely feel you guys' prayers and support. And hang in there with us. We'll get the job done. And ofalahiato to everyone back in the mainland, in the motherland. And thank you for your support.
I appreciate what you've done for all our community, bro. Special moment last week, that field goal.
Yeah.
Have you processed it yet?
Oh, not really. It all happened so quickly, man. It all happened so quickly, and we still had 5 minutes to go, so I knew that the game wasn't finished when I kicked it, but it was a good feeling after just listening to the crowd and listening to all our fans and then, I guess, seeing the family and seeing how proud they were and seeing how happy they were. That's, I guess, what made it that little bit more special.
Another special moment when you walked off the field, I saw you there with your grandparents. Man, I love seeing that footage. How was your grandparents?
Yeah, no, they're good. They're good. Both nanas come up on the Friday just before. I didn't actually get to see them before the game, so it was pretty emotional seeing them after the game. And I think that's actually the first time they've seen me play for Tonga. So, it meant a lot to me that I could go back to Auckland and not only play in front of them, but end up getting the win for them.
Hey, the Brisbane Tongans had a crack. Auckland Tongans had a crack.
Yeah.
You grew up, I know, in New Zealand, but also here in Australia. What can you expect from this Sydney Tongan crowd?
Man, this is awesome. I didn't expect it to be packed out like this. And yeah, the first time we walked in and just hearing the speaker go off and seeing all the fans and then the crowd yelling when we're just running out to training, it's awesome, bro. Like, you don't get this anywhere else. You don't get this at club level. This is probably the only international or only team, actually, that gets a crowd like this that turns up to a training session. So love listening to them, and love that they've turned up, and hopefully they can do the same on Sunday.
Hey, all the best for Sunday. Much love, bro. Doing our family proud, eh?
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, bro.
Thanks,
bro. Take care. Later.
Great work, Sammy. We got him on.
We got him, mate. Even if it was for 2 minutes, not quite the deep interview, but we got some gold there. And I don't know if you could hear him rattling something at the start of the interview. That was a pair of socks.
It was
a pair of socks. I gave him these Tongan
grip socks.
Grip socks.
I thought they were like lollies or chips.
Mate. He's prepping for a game. Can't be having that. But as you said, like the best fans in the world, 24 hours, there was a DJ, an MC. The Tongan church in Blacktown gave the big ngato, the fella, like the mats for the team.
Yeah,
like it was about 30 meters long.
Wow.
This mat, and then all the old ladies of the church were carrying it, just celebrating. And one of the producers, Tani, was asking, who was filming, he goes, oh, do you reckon we could get an interview with one of the ladies about what this means, the fella? And I was like, oh, let me just see, I don't know anyone in there. Next minute, hear one of my aunties say, hello, Sam, hello. I was like, oh, Betty, can I get you for an interview? She goes, of course, of course.
So she jumped on.
She jumped on.
A bit of an explanation.
Explanation, because that how big it was, and it's more for royalty and stuff, but that's what this team has done.
Great work, Sammy. You mentioned earlier, though, about the kids and yourself being taking your back at being a kid and how the kids, their eyes lit up and a bit nervous. I actually got to go into the Tongan camp last night and present on behalf of the RLPA. But before I done my presentation, I was sitting there talking to Felice. I looked around. They were sitting in this, that U shape. Bro, I started getting nervous. Hey, I'm like, what the hell, I'm about to go up and speak to these boys. And I was like, I've spoken to them all before. I'm like, damn, man, it's like just cool to see the amount of stars that represent the red jersey. And I forgot to mention that the last time they probably seen me in a playing jersey is when they beat me 90-something to 6 in the last World Cup.
No, they would have seen you score the last try.
Oh, yeah, and doing that, and carrying on and doing the Cook Island dance like we were up 90-something nil.
Hey, how was Felice's hair? Was it nice? Groomed?
Oh, yeah, I told you to give him a kiss on
Do you know, my wife was actually laughing that of all the words you remember in Tongan, you can't remember how to say thank you. You go, how do you say thank you again? Malo apito, malo. But you remember to how to say dula.
Yeah,
for the bald head.
Kiss him on the dula for me.
She was cracking up. We said, out of all the words you remember that one.
Well, there's another big game on the weekend, and this is the promotion relegation match, where the New Zealand Kiwis will be taking on the PNG Kumuls. This is a big one. It will be played straight after the Tongan Australia game on the weekend in Sydney. But, geez, the pressure in these games, it's different to the grand final, because you lose your position in that tournament, in the Pacific Championships Cup, and you are now playing in the Pacific Championships Bowl. So this one's, I think, with the pressure involved, I feel like it changes the way that teams play on the day, because they know every moment, every play, every time you catch the ball, there's a lot more pressure that weighs on it.
We're speaking from actually experience here. Yep. We've played in these type of games.
It's they're not nice to be a part of.
The time that we played, that was started with South African test players, and we were just cannon fodder out there, and we won that game, and the heads dropped. Because they actually lost a fair bit of their budget because they got dropped to second division and we went up.
Yeah.
But for this game, as you said, every moment matters. Who has the most pressure on their shoulders, PNG or the Kiwis?
I'd say the Kiwis. We'll run through it. So first, the Kiwis. They swapped the Tongan Kiwi Nalfahu White. He now joins the starting pack. Last week against the Tongan team, he was off the bench. He's been swapped with Leo Thompson, the Knights front rower. Leo will now join the bench, and Nalfahu White will start. PNG skipper Reece Martin, he returns after having last week off, attending the wedding, Fa'amanu Brown's wedding. Congratulations to Fa'amanu Brown as well. It looked like a really nice event and his wedding, so congratulations to him and his wife. Where Reece Martin, he had the game off against the Cookies. Dan Russell, the cook, PNG Dylan Napa, he'll be 18th man, and Moria also goes to the reserves. Now, with the Kiwis, I think they'll take a lot of lessons out of last week. There were words this week after the game about them being outplayed physically against the Tongan team. So I think the way that they reviewed last week's game against Tonga, they will try and not let that mistake happen again and really start the game better, start the game stronger, not get physically dominated like they did against Tonga. But when it comes to the Kumuls, mate, you cannot underestimate this Kumuls team, because I've played them a couple of times now, and although they might not have the height, that size, that physical dominant size like the Tongan team, they are all made of granite. They are all short, stocky, and they know how to play rugby league, and they have that passion for rugby league as well. I think Nana McDonald and Roderick Tai, they're the outside backs. I think those two will play a pivotal role in their starts of the sets, but then you've got guys like Kyle Labor and Lachlan Lamb at halfback to be able to, the way that they played last week with their kicking game, also taking on the line and then directing set plays, I think they'll have a big hand in if the PNG Kumuls are to be successful. But you mentioned the pressure. I think Kiwis, they will feel that pressure a lot more than PNG Kumuls, because PNG, they've already won Pacific Championships Bowl. They celebrated last week. This is a bonus game for them. Now they've got nothing to lose. They probably going into this one knowing that they're the underdog. They've got nothing to lose. There's no expectations, but they'll want to prove to the rest of the world that they're a fighting force, especially when it comes to the next World Cup, Whereas the Kiwis, they've just lost to Tonga. You know, they've worn that, I wouldn't say embarrassment, but, you know, they knew they were outplayed. And now they're coming up the coming up against the Kumuls, who they can't underestimate. And you know, I think that that pressure weighs a lot more on this Kiwis team. Just remember, you can hear the Pacific Championships games this weekend live on ABC Radio Australia. So the Kangaroos versus the Tonga 13 game is played at 3 p.m. PNG time. And that PNG Kumuls game versus the New Zealand Kiwis is 5 p.m. PNG time on ABC Radio Australia. And shortly we'll catch up with Sulla. Mate, how good is it that we get to catch up with a current player for the Gillaroos only a couple of days before her big final against the Kiwis.
Before a big game, yeah.
Really grateful to have Sulla on our show, so we'll catch up with her shortly. But let's cover the ad break rugby union.
I shouldn't have brought that in as a joke. Now it's
every week, you keep using it.
Right. But
this
there
is the last show.
There's a longer ad break than compared to weeks before. We'll get into Fiji versus Wales. That will be played at 1:30 a.m. Monday morning Fiji time. The team list hasn't come out yet, so hopefully that will come out shortly. But we believe there's going to be about 11 changes because of that international window is now in place, so they get to select their
club players coming back
from France and England and Italy. So they'll be definitely stronger against Wales.
Any big names coming over?
Yeah, hopefully they get big Semi Radradra back for this one and a couple of other inclusions that are playing in the French competition, which will definitely boost their confidence and experience for that game. We see Tonga versus Romania. That'll be 5 a.m. Sunday morning Tongan time. The last time these two teams met was at the Rugby World Cup, and Tonga won 45-24. Tonga, they haven't had the best test season so far. They've lost four out of the five test matches. Their only win coming against Canada, which was played in Tokyo. It's also a special weekend as well for my family. I know I keep talking about my family on here.
It's a family show, mate.
It's a family show. But we have Patrick Pellegrini, cousin, starting at 10 at fly half for the Ikaletahi team, and then Isaiah Katoa starting at halfback for the Tongan 13 team.
So Patrick and weekend. Isaiah are related as well?
Yeah, we're all cousins. All our grandparents are brothers and sisters.
Wow.
So there we go. That's a family, man. That's special talent. I don't know what happened to...
Is there one last name? Is it the Katoa family?
Katoa last name, yep.
So you're part of the Katoa
family? Yeah, mum's last name is Katoa.
And same as Pellegrini.
Pellegrini's mum's last name is Katoa. So there you go, mate. It's all happening in our family. Big weekend as well. With no Ben Tamiafuna for Tonga this week, so experience lost in the front row. We see Sione Talitui will captain the side, and he'll be starting at open side flanker.
With this Tongan team, compared to the last time they played Romania, do they have, you know, all their big stars, or are their stars gone back to their club land?
Yeah, this time around, it's definitely not as strong. There's only a couple of players that have been there from the last World Cup. Patrick was one of them, Sione Talitui as well, but with no Ben Tamifuna, no Adam Coleman, there's a lot of experience lost in this team. So it'll be a big test for them.
So you reckon it'll be closer than
I reckon it'll be closer, yeah. Especially playing in Romania. It's a different beast over there in those conditions.
Is that the one where Toto Kefilu said it's a different city there? And
yeah, it doesn't feel safe.
Not many smiles and...
That's the one. Oh, no, sorry, he was talking about Georgia. Sorry to all the Romanian people out there, all our Romanian listeners. We're big over in Romania, Nijan footy.
Or well, not anymore.
Well, let's move over to the Wallabies versus England game. This game will be played at 2 a.m. Sunday morning, Sydney time. Some big news in that camp with players. We saw Hunter Paisami injured. He injured his calf, so he didn't travel with the Wallabies. So it's a big blow in the midfield. And they've brought in Samu Kurevi, Fijian Samu Kurevi, who's been playing over in Japan. He comes into the squad. We also saw big Will Skelton join the squad as well. So there's some much needed size added to the Wallabies pack. But
he's big, all right.
He's a massive unit. Like
that video you showed me where he's
just hugging players, hugging 6 foot four players.
Leaning over to hug big 6 foot four players.
It's a specimen, big Willie. But the biggest talking point is Joseph Suaalii. It's confirmed he'll be starting at outside centre. He'll be starting at 13, starting against England in England in front of 80,000 English fans at Twickenham.
Oh, light work for my man, bro. Light work.
I know from a rugby league point of view, they probably think it is light work. But in all honesty, this will be the toughest challenge to date for him. It will be. It's a different atmosphere at Twickenham for England. Like, they've got no respect for Australians when they play on that field. Like, even our most successful Wallabies teams that we've had in the past don't really get the job done at Twickenham. And the last time the Wallabies have won there was in 2015 at the World Cup against England when they played it. So when I think of this game, him playing at 13, that's probably the toughest position to play on the field defensively. He is going to have to make decisions with traffic coming at him. And I've got no doubt the English fans are going to be giving it to him. They are ruthless. You just saw how they respected the All Blacks, or disrespected, I believe, the All Blacks haka.
Haka, yeah.
By singing. You know what I mean?
Singing over the haka.
Over the haka. They are just going to be relentless when it comes to Joseph Swaley from the crowd. And then the players will just be as ruthless as well in going at him. And I know that he is strong enough. He's a young man. He's played in some strong teams. But this Wallaby team, I think, is nowhere near as strong as some that we've had in the past. So
I can hear some doubt in your voice. It's kind of, you know, lowering my energy.
I'm just painting a picture on what he's coming up against, and I want him to absolutely kill it.
Right.
He's going to, so if he
pressure
makes a statement,
makes diamonds, he's going to absolutely kill it, and then it'll be wow.
I hope,
like,
man,
this time next week you're
as
like,
a,
wow.
As a rugby diehard,
he earned every dollar.
He is worth every dollar, but every single bit of traffic will be coming his way to put him in a position of making decisions. So defensively, he will need to know how to defend off scrum, you know, left and right side. He'll need to know how to defend in, like, at line-out time. If England chuck in five players in the line-out, there's going to be forwards in the back line. He's going to have to understand where he needs to be positionally. And then after that tackle, where he needs to be straight after that. So
I think you forget he played rugby union.
But you can't compare rugby union at schoolboy level to test footy.
Come
like it's on. King's GPS rugby, it is the most inflated competition and built-up hype I've ever seen. It's not a true reflection of rugby, that schoolboy's rugby.
I reckon with Sorlitti, it's probably how he sees a game of rugby league compared to the game of rugby union. And if he has that mentality of like, oh, I've clocked rugby league, you know, the rugby union's a easier game. Maybe he goes in with that mentality of just fully confident that he's going to nail it.
Oh, I've got no doubt he'll be confident going into it. And with Joe Schmidt saying, if not now, when? Like, so he's got the backing of a really, really smart coaching staff, and the players have, you know, they'll be relying on him. Even though this is his first game of rugby since school, like, his players will be looking at him for leadership because he needs to get the Wallabies on the front foot. He's in the midfield for a reason, because of his size, his presence as a ball carrier, and he can hit. So they'll be looking for that straight away. It's just more that when England go after him, especially around sending that traffic, around the clean out, when they clean him out, they're just going to let him know you're in for a tough one. And how he responds to that, that's what I'm excited about the most. But all I'm just saying, it's going to be a tough initiation for him just because of all the moving parts that you require in rugby union. And when I think about Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, they had a game plan for him to nullify his strengths. Even though they knew he was a strong ball carrier, he's not a triple threat in pass or kick.
Well, think about Israel Folau.
Played at fullback, never played at 13.
Yeah, well, he still killed it.
Look at the arrogance of rugby league. Eh? They just think you can come over and kill it any time, but it's a different beast. And that's why I think I've got a lot of respect for Sonny Bill in that case, because he was a guy that was a genuine threat when, even though he wasn't a pass or kick, his offload game really helped the All Blacks get, because he would attract five defenders and he'll just pass it over
flick
the top,
it. Yep.
Flick it out. So that's what Joseph Swale is coming at him. I hope he kills it. I hope he puts the Wallabies back on the map. And he does a great job out there.
Looking at the rugby league tackle techniques, is there anything that Sorlitti needs to change when he's playing the rugby union game in terms of his defensive technique? Because we've seen, you know, what happened where in the State of Origin game, where he's, you know, given his all, launched, he didn't have enough time to pull out. I believe he didn't have enough time to pull out of that tackle where he's clipped Rhys Walsh across the head and then got sent off. What we don't want is on his first game for the Wallabies, him getting a yellow card for, you know, a bad technique or a different type of technique. Is there anything that he needs to change?
Yeah, he'll definitely have to have a lower target, more of a dip in his tackle, because league is still pretty lenient compared to rugby union when it comes to the tackle height laws. And yes, he did get sent off in that game for Origin, but it's going to be even more so in rugby union. So the way he flies off the line, because you need that line speed, but it's a matter of he needs to just control his feet just a little bit longer to be able to dip earlier.
Is the target area around the hips?
Around the hips. So the way he'll be defending, a lot of stuff probably would be more of a chop tackle as well, trying to get the attacker to ground straight away. So there'll be players over the ball slowing that ball down at the breakdown. Bit different to probably rugby league. He might catch him a bit high and it's a bit slow in there. But his
you have
focus,
to look after the ball when you're in rugby league. While you're going in contact, because they've got the offload game and then you have to control the ruck on the ground.
So his one will be a lot, you know, he'll have to work hard with his 12 and his winger, because he's not, like, our wingers are always defending on that half. You know, in league, your winger might be back on the fourth or the third tackle, whereas in union, that pretty much happens the whole time. And so the spacing and the communication from his outside is so important on what he does, his decision-making. And then if they get on the outside, he's usually making that tackle that's driving into him from an outside,
inside out
type of hit.
So most times it'll be a one-on-one tackle around the legs.
Yeah,
for him.
That chop tackle is when you think about the word chop, you're chopping them to get to ground straight away.
Does that mean on the flip side, when he gets the ball, the defenders will be doing a similar thing?
He'll get
the ball in space and it'll be one-on-one.
Hoping so, but the way England defend, they are relentless with their line speed. They really shut the gate from the outside.
Well, then how do you counter that?
That's why from the 10 and 12, it's usually, that's why they go to the kicking game a lot.
Okay.
And he's got to be able to hold his feet too a lot more to be able to distribute. That's what I'm saying. It's going to be a lot more moving parts for him, because his decision-making skills under pressure are going to be needed, whether he's either going to hit the line or he's got to hold his feet to distribute, or he's got to be get ready for that crossfield kick.
Who'd you say what the 10 was?
Noah Lolasio's at... Oh, this is actually all Samoan midfield, actually. Noah Lolasio's at 10, Len Ikitau at 12, Joseph Suaalii at 13. So it's a great midfield combination. And hopefully this is a bit of a picture of what we're seeing that will stay consistent leading into the Lions next year and obviously the World Cup.
Yeah, so the 10's got a big responsibility, because if they fly up, go to the kicking game.
Got to go to the kicking game.
So pick the right option, because if they give the ball to Suaalii with no space, well,
he's just going to get chopped and he'll turn it over.
That's on the 10, so let's get to Culture Shock.
Culture Shock.
Yes, Culture Shock is where we hop to different islands, get a little bit of knowledge about what's happening in the Pacific and shocking our people with some fun facts. Last week, I filled you in on some Pacific Island news in Japan. It went for about 7 hours.
50 hours.
Detailed. Outstanding work. Pat myself on the back. Thank
Story
you.
Story time.
And now we are going to head to the Cook Islands. I feel like we've put the Cook Islands on the map with this show. Never really heard about the Cook Islands until Nijan Footy came around. And you, of course.
Well, we are getting a satellite in the Cook Islands very shortly. So,
as in like one satellite dish?
One satellite that will be airing all our shows.
Yes.
So this whole time, the Cook Islands haven't even been able to hear our shows, even though we talk about them a fair bit.
Yeah, well, surely wherever they get their podcast, do they have podcasts? You don't need a satellite for a podcast.
Yeah, true that.
Nah. And Facebook and your mum, she's part of the media.
Yeah, there is. Anyway, Culture Shock, Cook Islands. Mate, I'm starting to run out of ideas with Culture Shock in the Cook Islands, but we've named a couple. So the first one was the tallest building.
Oh, can't go higher than a coconut tree.
Can't go higher than a coconut tree. The other one was about the land. But the thing I love about going back to the Cook Islands is that raw feeling of not being surrounded by, what's the word?
Commercialization.
Yeah.
Development.
So there's no like big buildings. As I said, you can't go higher than the tallest coconut tree. You also cannot sell land. So the land stays in the family. it gets passed down. You can lease it for, I think it was like 60 years max. Could be wrong. Don't fact check me. But you can lease the land, but you cannot sell it to people outside of the island. It has to stay in the family. My culture shock is you are not allowed, or there's strict rules, and they're not allowed to have any big franchises like KFC and McDonald's. So on the island, there is no KFC, there is no McDonald's, there's no Burger King. They're all local shops, they're all local stores. And I remember when I was a kid, when I lived there, there was one fried chicken place on the island, and it was called RFC, Raro Fried Chicken.
I was going to say, what is the equivalent?
So, yes. And then I remember actually now thinking about it. So they had Raro FC. But whenever the family would fly over from New Zealand to Raro to, you know, whether it's for a holiday or visit family, would always ask them to bring a bucket of KFC chicken.
On the plane.
So you would travel over on the plane with a bucket or as much chicken as you can, KFC chicken, and take it all the way to Raro.
You're joking. How far is the flight?
3.5 to 4 hours.
Sitting in a bucket,
and then you...
Surely, if you've got, say, a 24-piece feed, like 10 makes it to the Cook Islands. That smell of that chicken...
No word of a lie, we used to take buckets and boxes of KFC chicken. So that was my culture shock. I just love the, just the feeling of going back to the islands. And you're not surrounded by big buildings or big brands.
They used to have one in Tonga as well, KFD, Kentucky Fried Dog.
No, they didn't.
They did.
Did they have KFH?
Horse as well, Kentucky Fried Horse. Nah, fried horse doesn't taste as great as, anyway.
Did they actually have Kentucky
Fried Dog? No, I was just checking up. Oh. They eat the dog, but they didn't. It wasn't fried.
Well, that's my culture shock. Let's head over to our great friend, Sala Tongatuki.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Man, we are honoured to have our good friend, Sala Tongatuki, here with us right now before she plays in the Pacific Championships Cup final this weekend for Australia, and she'll be taking on New Zealand. Sala, how has the preparations been this week in camp?
Just good to be back. But preparation's been great. All the vibes are on a high. The men and the girls, we just finished doing some testing and everyone's results looking great and all ready. So, yeah, I think everything's just been tracking smoothly with preparation. And that's just big credit to the staff and that they've just looked after us so well. And, everything that's been planned throughout the week, it's worked really well for us. So really excited for what's ahead.
Last week you shared a pretty cool part of your preparation around reaching out to some ex-Jewelaroos. Sorry, it's not union segment yet.
All right, wrong time.
Hey, you want to come? just planting the seeds there for later. But, yeah, you shared that you reached out to some ex-Jewelaroos. Anything special this week around theming the week for this grand final?
Yeah, so our theme for the week is all about the future. And when we came into camp, there was like these newspapers all done up by the staff, and it's like something like looking like what us Jewelaroos would look like in 5-10 years, or what the next generation could be looking like in the Jewelaroos jersey. So I think we just want to work really hard to keep paving the way and focus on, opening those doors and that, knocking down barriers and that for the next generation, so they're in safe hands and that in years to come. So that's been our theme this week. But I felt like all the themes in the last two camps have collated so well, and it's just collaborated really well in this camp for us. And it's brought us a lot of purpose and meaning for the game on Sunday. So, yeah.
Oh, nice. Being so close to the game of rugby league, I feel like it just never ends. It's gone from like pre-season to State of Origin to NRL, NRLW, finals, now Pac Champs. Looks like this is going to be the last game for, the season. Have you had a thought about this being your last game for a while now, and what's next after this weekend?
Yeah, so a couple of us have, well, for myself, I've got a Bali trip booked for a friend's wedding. It's going to feel a bit daunting because I feel like it's not really the last game, knowing that there is like a job in Las Vegas next year, and we don't know who's going to be in that team. So I feel like there's no such thing as rest when this game's done on Sunday. I guess I can have a bit of time off, but it's not too long for what I hope for. So, yeah, I guess I'm grateful also just to Tiana, like Chris and the Scanlans. Like, they've reached out. They've put a whole group of us girls, not just NRW, but even the players, female, young females aspiring to be NRW players, in a group chat on Instagram with the some FTA sessions. So I've planned to sort of pop in there as soon as camp's done. I'll probably take Monday off, and then I'll probably pop in on Tuesday. And, yeah, just sort of meet the young ones. I guess for me, I'm really taking the theme this week out of camp as well with me. I really want to focus on the next generation and help share a bit of the knowledge that I've been lucky enough to gain in this campaign. So I guess the sooner we can grow our grassroots, the sooner the game can grow as well with the expansion and also just quality for the footy and the product itself. So, yeah, I don't feel like it's going to be the last game, but it is daunting knowing it is for a while. And yeah, pre-season's just around the corner. So yeah, it's a bit of a funny one with it for females footy, only because knowing that there's those games, like I know it's not just Jillaroos, but it's also the All-Stars. So you've got those girls also for the Maldives Indigenous, also having to stay fit and finding something to do in between now and then. And it's only like the difference, it's only 2 months.
Yes, the grind.
Like gap, so.
The grind, yeah, I guess grind don't sleep. The grind don't sleep.
Yeah, the grind.
You. And you just reminded me, actually, the Jillaroos taking on the Great Britain team in Vegas. So hopefully, you know, your name is in that bucket, and we see you over in Vegas. And hopefully, me and Sammy make the trip over there. But looking forward to this weekend. Let's start with your game against the Kiwis. What are you expecting?
Oh, they're going to come out firing, like. I guess, you know, that's just their first game warming into the series. And I know that, you know, after playing against PNG, you can get a whole lot of confidence out of that. So, yeah, I know they might be changing some things up their sleeves. So we just got to expect unexpected and just bring our A game and best foot forward. So, yeah, we just got to stick to our game plan. Nothing complicated, just simple and,
has your roles changed at all coming off the bench again, or is it similar plan for yourself?
No, I wouldn't. I guess like you can always improve. That's just something I always do. And knowing that I come off the bench, I just got to make sure I max out for those minutes. I guess against Kiwis, I have the mindset of, no, I'm so used to at the Tigers doing a lot of work and being that starting middle and you play at big minutes and that, but I just got to do my job to the best. And I feel like that's the most exciting thing about it is I didn't give my bestest. So I'm really excited to go out all out this Sunday and just really just have some fun and just know that I want to empty the tank and leave everything out there. And I felt like I didn't do that against Kiwi. So I'm most excited towards that for myself, but
you're too hard on yourself, Sala. You're too hard on yourself.
Nah, get on the field, get the ball, hey, take the first it. Carry and killed just it. Run through as many Kiwi girls as you can. But on the weekend, last weekend, we've seen the Fetu Samoa beat the Fiji Pulikula and they qualified for the next World Cup. Have you managed to speak to any of the Fetu Samoa girls?
Yeah, I've spoken to a couple of them. Christian and P, and also one of the young ones in our Tigers who's been called into the squad, Claudia. So yeah, it's also welcoming. She said the vibe and the culture, and I think again, I'm so proud of them. Like, yeah, it's just so exciting knowing that they're in the 2026 World Cup, and yeah, they definitely deserve it. They've been playing great footy, and it's the likes of Ivana Pulidi and those leaders in it. And at a North Sala, and that they really led the team forward so strong. And that's what, you know, they got the results out of that. So I'm looking forward to their game against PNG. And I'm just so like grounded knowing that they get to play before us. So I'll definitely be right there singing the anthem, you know, not by their side, but for them.
I love that. I absolutely
just carrying them on, giving them my full support.
Yes, yeah. Fetty Samoa will be taking on PNG Orchids. Who's going to win and why?
It's a no-brainer.
I'm being the reporter guy now.
Loaded questions here.
Nah, Jakes, you don't have to answer that. We know where you're. You know, you've obviously got Samoan blood, but I won't put that pressure on you. It's all good. We won't.
It's all the credit though to PNG. Like they really dug deep in all their games this campaign, and I think if there's any other team out there, like I guess you know, you'd give up, but they really did try, and I was really proud of them against their game against Kiwis. They did fix a couple of things, I guess, and they've learnt their lessons out of the games previous before that. So yeah, I'm looking forward to a really strong, bold middle match between Elsie and Aneta. Big powerhouses, and yeah, I can't wait for them to go at one another. But both so humble off the field, so fitting and right that those are the two for me as key players and at this Sunday.
Well, Salah, we don't want to hold you up any longer. We know you've got to get to training and
prepare.
You've
got a breathing session.
But yeah, we want to wish you all the best. It's been an absolute privilege and honour to have you on every Friday because you've added so much to the show, being able to get an insight into the women's game. We wish you all the best in the grand final and preparations for the Tigers next year. Go get them. We'll see you in 2025.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate it. It's been an honour and privilege myself and that to come forward and be on the show. And I've learned so much out of it, and I've grown as a person and player. And hopefully, take all that away and go with it.
We'll see you on the
Thanks,
weekend.
Man.
Take care.
Kia ora na, ngā takotoru toku ingoa, and you're listening to Nijan Footy.
Well, Sammy, now that this is our last Nijan Footage Friday reviews, we are actually heading into a new series called Summer Sit Downs with Sam and T. Is that right?
That's the one that is right.
Sam and T, Summer Sit Down?
Yeah, that's it. However you want to put it, T and Sam and T, doesn't matter whose name comes first, except if it's my name first. it's important that we kept the show going because the people wanted more. The bosses gave us more. We said yes, of course.
You said yes and then just made me say yes.
You have to say yes too.
And we found a way,
we
mate.
We found a
but
way.
What a lineup. So in terms of the show, if you listen to our Monday shows, yes, we interview one guest every Monday. And yeah, we do dive deep into their journey and their stories for about 20 minutes. But this series, we will go deeper and get a longer time with our guests. And we will talk about their family journey, that we'll talk about their 40, and we'll also finish off with a bit of fun as well.
Yep.
So some fun questions, but a great lineup we're sorted for this series.
Yeah, we've got Will Hopewate as well. I think we've heard him as a co-host, but just to hear his rugby league journey and his footy
journey around faith, his walk,
his culture,
his mission.
We also have Melanie Kalwa as well. She's PNG player with the Melbourne Rebels and her journey as a mum and playing footy. I think, you know, you said that Monday episode where we go a little bit deeper, so much stuff gets cut out because of time. This time around, we get to stretch it out. We get to know your Nijan footy stars a little bit more. And that's going to be happening every Friday right up until next year when we come back for Nijan Footy and kickstart our reviews and previews again. So we're looking forward to that one, yeah, T.
Quiet, boys and girls. It's Professor Paulo.
Yes, it's the final week of Professor Paulo, and I am down by 1 point. The score is Sammy 16. I am on 15. If I get this one correct, what's the go?
I think we should. Well, it's a draw. Do you want to have a bonus question? Do we have a bonus question?
Split the bill or the...
Yeah, we'll split the bill.
Got to get the question right. Anyway, this one's this one's the closest to each week. Professor Paulo, a.k.a. Sefa Paulo, has given us a question, and the loser at the end of the season has to buy a fancy lunch. So 16-15, this question, closest to. Let's go.
The final countdown. Do-do-do-do-do. Well done, boys. Put in your passion, your minds towards Professor Paulo segment. This is our last question for the year, and good luck. My question will be, how many players were involved in the 2019 historic Tonga win against the Kangaroos will be taking the field this Sunday?
That's a great question.
That is a great question. How many players from that team?
From that
Sam. Team. I'm going to go, there's Lola here, Adam Fanua Blake, Dal Malolo, Havili, Daniel Tupou. That's five. I am going to go nine.
Oh.
Were you thinking of nine?
Or bro, less? You just counted five and then you go, I'm going to go nine.
Yeah, because I just feel like there's another.
I just thought there would be Felice, so I'm going to go eight.
Come on, Mate Ma'atonga, bring it home this Sunday. But the answer to that question is five. Lola here, Daniel Tupou, the foot doctor, Havili, Adam Fanua Blake, and Jason Tomololo.
I guess five. Wow. And I go to nine. Am I all there?
I thought at least, I was going to say six.
I named the five players the and I place, go to nine.
Safe place would be eight, just one underneath you. That was fun. 16-0. Let's get to our knockout tipping comp.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
Yes, our final knockout tipping time for 2024. Sammy, you were 3 from 4 last night.
I've come home with a wet sail.
I managed to get 1 point.
Clawed my way back.
The score is 47-43. Last week was probably the first time we've ever done four games, but let's go all four this weekend as well.
I want to let you choose because I feel it felt like you've been at a disadvantage because of the Cook Islands. You had to go with them.
And Tonga too.
I know.
Wanted to back Tonga.
I know.
Should have gave Tonga so, the start.
This time you go.
All right.
Who you want to choose?
We'll go.
Except you can't go Tonga versus Australia. That's me.
Okay. What are you saying? All right, we'll start with Kangaroos versus Tonga anyway. I'll give you a start.
Yep.
Even though I reckon it'll be really tight.
We can
How
go.
How much do you want?
12?
12 and a half.
Okay, 12 and a half start.
Kiwis versus PNG Kumuls. I will go. I'll take the Kumuls.
Yep.
Let's go 16 and a half.
Yep, I'll take that.
PNG are 1 of 18 against New Zealand. The last win was back in 1986.
This was my Nisian knowledge question. For next week, now I have to find something else.
Was it actually?
Nah, it would have been a good one though.
Yeah, that would have been. Fitu Samoa versus PNG Orchids. I'd love to go the Fitu. I'm going Fitu.
Yeah, you'd have to. They've had a tough run, the PNG Orchids.
Oh, who do you want?
I'll go PNG Orchids. Oh, are we going heads? That
nah,
can't
nah,
be heads.
Nah. We'll give you a start.
Give us a start.
6.5.
Really? I thought Fitu Samoa looked great.
That's what I thought last week. And they almost lost to Fiji.
Well, do you know what? Plays because they've already qualified for World Cup. I know there's more on the line, but I wonder if they've celebrated too much. All right, give me head-to-head. Give me 12.
12
and a half.
So 11 and a half. Sweet. I'm only saying this because of the way that they played last week, they almost lost. And Gillaroos versus the Kiwi Ferns.
Who do you want to go?
Gillaroos, I'm going because of Sulla. I reckon she's going to come on and be an absolute wrecking ball off the bench. And I reckon they will dominate this game and win by more than 2 tries.
So you give me 12 and a half? 12 and a half? 14? 14.
I'll give you 13 and a half start.
Thanks, T. You're too kind, mate.
14 and a half.
All right, 14 and a half start. Well, that's our time up for our final Nisian Footy Friday for the year. Remember, you can listen back to our Monday and Friday shows. Just search for Nisian Footy wherever you get your podcast. T, outstanding work, son.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Ka kite.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.